time has this been a rising trend in cosmetic procedures among young women. Worryingly, also a rise in procedures being administered by untrained and unlicensed individuals. Joining us now to talk about this is facial aesthetic practitioner and dentist, Dr. Mairead Brown, who's attending the Irish Dental Association annual conference this week. Mairead, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Now, you've been doing these facial aesthetics for quite a while.
Yes, so I've been practicing over 15 years now, Pat, and I currently work in general practice and I work in an aesthetic practice as well. And I suppose as dentists, we're at our annual conference and it's something that we deal with aesthetics alongside cosmetics all the time. So we are well versed in treating and doing and practicing facial aesthetics. But I suppose, as you were saying there, you know, there is a rise and a trend in terms of corrective work that we're seeing a lot in our clinic now, particularly in younger patients. You know, I suppose we live in an influential culture where it's a really hyper-visual environment. We have our TikToks, our Snapchats, and all these different things and huge influences. And I suppose these are not always a negative thing either, but, you know, it's really important that patients understand these are not beauty treatments. These are medical treatments, and they need to be performed with appropriately trained and qualified medical professionals in an appropriate setting as well.
Now, there are a number of trends. One is young people, and I mean, the expression youth is wasted on the young. Often, younger people, be they male or female, don't realise that youth in itself is an attraction. And, you know, they try to enhance something that doesn't actually need enhancement.
Yeah, and I suppose that's really where it goes to attending someone who has the appropriate qualifications, Pat, that they will advise you and ethically treat you as well, that they're not just, it's not just a numbers game. They're not going to provide treatments that are unnecessary. And I suppose this year there's been a huge number of new trends in aesthetics. We're very much about a holistic approach, more inside-out approach. And there's been a huge shift from the dermal fillers to more regenerative medicine. We're looking at prejuvenation, collagen banking, like less invasive options that have less social downtime. But this is a huge market, Pat. You know, it's valued at $25.9 billion in 2028.
Okay, so and then there's the problem of non-qualified people administering these.
Yeah.
What are the dangers of someone who's not qualified to put in a filler or to administer Botox?
I mean, ultimately, Pat, the major danger with dermal filler is blindness. You know, these are it's a huge, huge safety issue. There's a lack of regulation. You have this exponential rise in lay people essentially attending these one-day crash courses, setting themselves up as aesthetic medical practitioners. It's a huge patient safety, you know, in terms of dermal filler, and that's what I'm seeing in terms of my own day-to-day experience with corrective work, is these are classified as medical devices, but they're not a prescription drug. Mm. So that means anybody can access them. There are over 200 products on the market that are not CE marked or FDA approved, and they come from companies like Filler World. You know, these are pharma products. They're not trained to manage complications, and it's a numbers game. Both myself included, anybody even with the most skilled practitioner, most experienced, can have complications, but we're trained to manage them. We can access the product, which is a prescription drug, to reverse it. And under EU law, these are classified as medical devices, so they should be only administered by trained medical professionals.
Now, are we on the way to legislation here?
Very much no. You know, like there was a case recently in the UK, I'm not sure if you're following it, called Alice Webb.
Yeah.
It's really the Wild West at the moment. And she was a mum of five. She died last year, had a non-surgical, what we call a BBL, a Brazilian butt lift, with the clinic that apparently was training in it. You know, so absolutely, it's completely unregulated. Even for us as medical professionals, there's no defined training pathway. There's no, but these practitioners are working uninsured. There's no accountability. There's no traceability in terms of the products they're using. And they're landing on our doorstep. And I'm a member, Pat, of the Irish College of Aesthetic Medicine. It's a new association that's been established, and we're a group of doctors and dentists, and it bore out of that. It's advocating for our patient safety, education, legislative reform. But absolutely, at the moment, it is the Wild West out there.
Okay, now what is Barbie Botox?
So this was a trend last year, Pat, with the Barbie movie, and it involves injecting botulinum toxin into the trapezius muscles, which are the muscles on the neck. But, you know, Botox is a licensed drug and it's a very useful drug. We use it a lot, as I said, to manage pain. But the idea behind Barbie Botox, or Traptox, which was trending on TikTok, which I'm a little bit too old for, but was basically to elongate the neck and create the illusion of a longer neck, almost looking like Margot Robbie. But, you know, beauty, these are not beauty treatments. They shouldn't follow trends. They're really only done if they need to be done. But it's a very useful treatment. For lots of things, we're using it a lot to treat depression, for hay fever. We use hay tocks now, particularly coming into hay fever season. So these are really safe treatments if they're managed appropriately and administered by an appropriately trained professional.
Now, you would caution against Botox for very young people, for people in their late teens, early 20s. Why?
Well, first of all, it's a prescription drug, so it's only licensed to be used over 18. But is there a clinical need for it? You know, now we do use Botox for very younger patients, not for cosmetic, for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. It's used for kids with cerebral palsy, used for managing migraine, for loads of treatments like that. So there is a certain amount of regulation around Botox because it's a licensed drug and it's a prescription drug and it can only be accessed or administered by doctors or dentists. So there is a certain amount of accountability there, but it's a very useful drug. But from a cosmetic point of view, I mean, we're not insured or allowed to treat patients below the age of 18.
One of the things you fear about it is that people become almost dependent, if not quite addicted, dependent on these, be they fillers or be it Botox, because when the effect wears off, they don't like as they regress back towards where they were, and maybe they don't regress nicely.
And I suppose that's the concept of a perception drift, Pat. And I suppose we have that even as clinicians as well. We almost forget our starting point. And again, that's why it's really important attending someone who's trained, who will tell you whether you need that treatment or not. These are, as I said, treatments that will be really about tweaks and treating the face as a holistic approach. It's not a paint by numbers. It's not you need the same treatment every time you come into the clinic. But yes, there is this concept of a perception drift, which we're all, because I suppose we're, beauty and aesthetics isn't perfection, isn't attainable, you know, and it's understanding that there are limitations, and particularly if it's cheap aesthetic treatment, it's not a bargain, like if it's costing you your health or your safety or even your appearance. So again, that's my duty to inform you whether that's an appropriate treatment for you or not. But I fall under certain regulatory guidelines. I'm under insurance as well. The problem is attending clinicians or practitioners who aren't, you know, and that's the problem.
Now, Margaret, there's another issue for dentists, and that is that dentists are allowed to practice here even though they may have been sanctioned in their home country or in another jurisdiction. They can come here and practice away. So who knows who you're meeting?
And I suppose, Pat, I'm not sure if you saw that article yesterday in The Independent, which we as an association are welcoming, and we really welcome the move. And it's going to be a change to our Dentist Act. We're currently operating under a Dentist Act from 1985, which, as you said, prior to this, our dental council didn't have the powers to sanction any dentists who had previously had sanctions in another jurisdiction. So now, under this new amendment, any dentist who fails to disclose a sanction from another jurisdiction will fall under grounds for complaint under fitness to practice. So, you know, it's really, really welcome. We've been calling for reform for years, Pat. You know, it's really important for the safety, the integrity of our profession, because our patients deserve the highest standards of care. And we need a regulatory framework that upholds the public's trust in us.
So if this legislation is passed and comes into law, will that mean that only dentists who have impeccable records will be allowed to practice here?
Well, we have certain laws and we fall under certain regulations, but, you know, we're calling for further enactment of this legislation. As I said, as it stands, we are working under a Dentist Act from 1985, and this no longer reflects the complexity and demands of modern dental practice. This new amendment will certainly, you know, reassure patients that the dentists that they're attending will have met rigorous professional standards and ethical standards as well. But we're calling for a step further. You know, as I speak to you now, I'm here at our annual conference doing our CPD, and currently under our legislation, we are not required as dentists or our auxiliary staff to maintain any professional competency. Yes, we're ethically obliged, but it's not underpinned by legislation. And this is totally out of step with other regulated healthcare professionals as well. So as I said, I'm speaking to you from our conference where we have a huge number of attendees looking to constantly keep up to date with the current and new treatments and provide our patients with the biggest and highest standard of care.
Dr. Mairead Brown, a dentist and facial aesthetic practitioner, thank you very much for joining us. The number of young girls who are pretty to begin